Current State on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. MSU Global is featuring the photography of Ana Luisa Cardona, a Michigan-based artist. Part of the exhibit features an exploration in visual communication between her and the late Bay Area artist and photographer Daniel Del Solar. Cardona is also a passionate advocate for arts education and serves as a consultant to the Michigan Arts Education Instruction and Assessment Program. She joins us in studio here to talk about her work and about arts education. Welcome.
Good morning.
When you say you look at images as language, what do you mean?
Well, they speak to us, and in combination, they can say a variety of things. For many years, I've been interested in how images speak to us as distinct from how words speak to us and how you can use each appropriately.
Mm-hmm. We tend to be verbally dominated. Would you agree we are a verbally dominated society as opposed to image-driven?
I would say very much so, especially in education. That's where I've seen it the most, because in public life, we are, I think, a little more balanced. We have advertising, which is very visual. We have signage, which is visual. But somehow in our formal business, work, and school life, we seem to revert to the word.
Part of this exhibit features a collaboration between you and the late Daniel Del Solar, a well-known Bay Area artist and photographer, where you explored this idea of visual communication with your photographs from Spain. Tell us more about that project.
Well, we both went together to Spain on a two-week adventure and came back with probably 2,000 photographs each of these 2 weeks. And then as artists self-imposed upon us a little exercise, which was to whittle those down to about 88 images, each of us contributing our best, and then without using any words in our internet email communications, to edit them into a publication that we would then publish as Latinize.
And had you been to Spain before?
Yeah, I had studied in Spain back in the 70s.
Okay. So did you have images that you anticipated capturing before the visit?
No, and the project just emerged after the visit. It was sort of, here we are with 2,000 images.
I see. Okay.
Why don't we do X?
Yeah. And how did you come to agreements on pairings? Were there visual arguments, so to speak, that you two had during the process?
Yeah, there were times when one image would be taken out or paired with another, and then it would come back to me, and it would be back where it had been before. And so it was a matter of almost stubbornness. And after a while, when you're dealing with 88 images contributed by two different people, you sort of lose track of whose images are whose, and they become a sort of collective images, which was sort of an interesting byproduct of the process, was sort of the stripping away of ego. Something that I think we look for when we're looking for collaboration is less of the I and more of the we. And it happened more easily, I think, with images than it would have with words.
What do you hope people will take away from this exhibit? Do you think they'll be able to detect the kind of dynamic that you just described?
I think we as viewers bring a great deal of our own history to the images, but I think some of the pairings are obvious, their contrasts, or their almost a joke on each other. Others will be more dealing with composition. But what I hope they come away with is the fact that we have more tools available to us for communicating than just the word. We have music, dance, theater, visual arts, media. And to become really full-fledged communicators, the more access we have to those tools, the better. So let's not always rely and defer to the word, because there are some things that images can tell us much more effectively.
We're talking to photographer and artist Ana Luisa Cardona You've been a strong advocate for arts education. As we mentioned, you're a consultant with the Michigan Arts Education Instruction and Assessment. And while with the Department of Education, you worked on the Michigan Arts Education K-12 standards. What are the basic standards school districts should adopt? Can you talk to us about that?
Basically, they mimic the creative process. So the standards are organized around create, perform, and respond. So the act of creating from something from nothing, the act of performing, using the tools and skills of that specific art form in order to express yourself, and then responding, which is the reflection, thinking about. And it's an iterative process, and it's something that you can start very young and continue to, as I do today, to continue to reflect upon my work. And so those are the basic standards.
Create, reform, respond.
Create, perform.
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 Okay. Create, perform, respond.
Respond. Right.
The Lansing School District recently, in a cost-cutting move, cut more than 80 teachers certified to teach art, music, and phys ed last spring. In your view, does it matter if the teacher is certified to teach art?
What the research tells us is that it does matter because a certified teacher has preparation in the knowledge of that content area and how to teach that content area to students, as well as how to connect it to other subject matters. And so someone who does not have that preparation will not have those skills in order to develop their own skill as an artist so that you're giving students the best there is in terms of modeling resources. And then you also have to know how to present it to students, a variety of students across grade levels. And so what the research tells us, and the research is what we present in the Michigan Arts Education Instruction and Assessment Program, which we refer to as MIA, is that it does in fact matter that the teacher that is teaching the art form is certified, which means it's a guarantee that you know that person has preparation. Until 2006, there were no arts education requirements in K-12 Michigan education. So there's no guarantee that a teacher who has a general education certification may have had any arts education in their entire preparation.
Talk to us more about the resources that arts teachers need, though.
Well, they range from everything from professional development in their own field and the professional development of their colleagues in arts education so that there's a common understanding of what students are doing when they're creating, performing, and responding. It may involve facilities. If you're teaching dance, then you want to make sure that you are able to move chairs in your classroom, that you have, when you get into the more advanced levels, that you have a floor that is not going, students won't injure themselves on. It involves time with students. So the amount of time that students have to dedicate to each of the four art forms is critical in terms of how deeply they're going to learn that art form and how college-bound and career-ready they're going to be when they graduate from the schools.
To people who choose the well-trod route of balancing limited school budgets by cutting the arts and music first, how do you respond?
What we've seen and what the research across the country tells us that it's not necessarily a matter of budget. It tends to be leadership. And so taking the same resources and deciding to reallocate them deliberately is the first step that needs to happen. So we know that we're a long way to go, but unless we have a shared vision of what we want for students and that it includes creativity and preparation creativity, then what we offer are some tools so that schools can plan their path to that vision that they have for students.
You have a meet and greet plan that's associated with your exhibit. Can you tell us about that?
Well, this afternoon, 3:30 to 5:30 at the Nisbet Building in Suite 301. I'll be there, and also shared with the photography is stage sets and costumes from the MSU of production of Cyrano, which is a wonderful add-on. So the photographs are hanging along with part of the stage from Cyrano, and the costumes are standing right by it. So I'm eager to meet the students who were working on that production and also to greet anyone who wishes to stop by.
Ana Luisa Cardona is a Michigan-based artist and arts education advocate. You can check out her exhibit, Visual Dialogues, at MSU Global, which is, as you just heard, in the Nisbet Building here on the campus. Thank you very much for joining us. Good luck.
Thank you.